gotten mighty quiet in here. Amen. Good morning. A scripture reading I have assigned to some folks here. I just want to let you know that I appreciate your love and your prayers. And just sitting down there, being able to sing these songs. The body is at work here. You guys are doing what God has called us to do. I've been learning a few things, or relearning them. So I want to share some scripture. So the first scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5. Would somebody read verses 16 to 18?
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
And next, Ephesians 5:20, nice and loud. Colossians 2:6-7.
Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving.
Philippians 4:4-6.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
As you listened to that, did any of you hear a word that was repeated in all four of those verses? It's the word thanksgiving. Thessalonians says we're to give thanks in everything, in every situation. Why? Because it's God's will, along with praying without ceasing, never give up praying, rejoicing always. That's another verse, another word that's found in Philippians 4. Overflowing with thanksgiving. Not just dripping out. Some of us had to let our water pipes drip overnight because of the freezing temperatures. Not just dripping out, but letting that faucet run full, overflowing with thanksgiving. And it's easy to worry. You look into the future, and in my case, I'm looking, as I'm reading on nerve pain, whether it's sciatica or muscle, I don't know, they don't know either. This condition might resolve itself in 4 to 6 weeks. Well, in 4 to 6 weeks, the grass is growing, and I've got to mow grass. So am I going to be able to do that? You worry. But there is something we're to be anxious for. Nothing. If you count something as nothing. So, what do you do when you're in pain? You try to get what? Relief. So in my case, I go on YouTube and sciatica nerve pain relief. And there's all kinds of stuff out there. And then you read the comments. This didn't help me at all. Or the one that I just found this morning said, "You're the man. You're the man. This helped me. So I'm going to be doing more." That one. But we sang one of the songs, I forget which one it is. It's about our weaknesses, right? You know, sometimes we want to buck up and say, "I can handle this. I can handle it all by myself." But Paul said, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." And he also said, "Your grace is sufficient." Or actually, Jesus said that to him. "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, do I believe that? Do I really believe that? And another lesson I'm learning is that, am I going to practice what I've been preaching? Because I remember some other Sundays we sang some of those songs that talk about no matter what, we will trust the Lord, right? No matter what. And I remember standing up here and saying, you know, it's real easy to tell you all, no matter what, until the what comes to you. And I've also learned that there are different kinds of pain. I've got some lower left leg nerve pain or something. But you know, you walk around in this world and there's people in all kinds of pain that you're not even aware of. Because you're not thinking about other people. You're thinking about yourself, which is what pain does. It gets you to focus on yourself, right? And sure, the people you meet, talk, even here in church, they're wearing a smile. Now, if I stand up here and I'm wearing a smile, can you tell that I have pain? No. And then when somebody says, "How you doing?" You know, you want to say, "Oh, I'm fine." But you know you're not. You know you're not. And what's wrong with letting somebody know, as I do, I like to answer this way, "How are you doing today?" "In the Lord, I am of good cheer. But in this body, I am not." There's emotional pain that people are going through and suffering that you don't even know about. No matter they wear a smile. Their mental anguish. Their struggles. There is this big monster of anxiety and worry that people carry that you just don't even know. You can't see it. But it's there. So how do you help somebody like that? Well, I wouldn't use these verses for somebody else. Somebody shares a painful moment with you. "Oh, well, you just need to rejoice in the Lord always, brother. You just need to give thanks for this." See, these scriptures are for me. For me. And to help somebody else, I would say, "Brother, I can sympathize. I can understand your pain. I've been there. And I'm going to pray for you. And I just want you to let you know that I'm going to pray a little deeper. You see, it's one thing to pray for somebody to get relief from physical pain. But how about praying for somebody to get to know God better through their pain? I mean, it's easy to pray for Aunt Susie's toe, big toe that's inflamed and you know, want it to get better. But how about pray for Aunt Susie to have what we sang about, a renewed mind, a better worldview on what she's going through. And I talked to some friends yesterday who came by, and I remembered a book written by, I believe his name is Paul Brandt, on pain as a gift from God. Have you ever thought about that? Dr. Brandt, he was a medical doctor, and he worked with lepers. And of course, leprosy, that skin disease, you know, it can it's a nerve condition, it messes up your nerves, and so they can injure them their fingers and they don't feel pain. I mean, they can put their fingers or a hand on a hot stove and they won't feel it. And so his whole point was, pain is a gift from God to let you know something's wrong. So I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm seeing a physical therapist. I've seen my medical doctor as well. But it's a gift. Because it does help me to learn more about my relationship with the Lord. What is my relationship with the Lord? Am I going to complain? Am I going to cry out in a complaint? Oh, I cried out the other day in my kitchen when I could not sleep. No matter what position I got in, it didn't help. And I cried out to the Lord, but not in complaint, in praise and asking for relief. And I remember quoting promises. And as we are studying some of the names and titles of God, I even reminded God, not that he needed reminding, but I reminded him, you're El Shaddai, which means what? God Almighty. I remember a story that Jesus told, or that's in the Gospels, about Jesus encountering, I think it was a blind man. And the blind man says, if you are willing, you can heal me. I know Jesus is able, because see, there's another story in there. If you remember, Jesus and three of his closest disciples went up on the mountain and they came back down, and the other disciples had a situation where there was a demon affecting a son, a child, and the other disciples couldn't cast them out. And so the father of that child said, please, if you can, do something. And Jesus said, if you can, what? If you can? What do you mean, if you can? Where's your faith? So I know El Shaddai can do more than I can ask or imagine. So I pray, Lord, if you're willing, and I pray you be willing. And so far, he has only answered a little bit. Because I asked for complete relief. He gave me some relief, even that night. I was able to find a comfortable position. I even went back to bed and was able to sleep for 2 hours. So I know he's able. What is he willing to do? Because there are lessons for me to learn that I would not learn any other way. So thank you for your prayers. And let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, possessor of heaven and earth, Lord of the nations, God Almighty, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the words that you've given, the promises that you've given. And so teach us more of what you've revealed about yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me just recap. I started this message January 18th, and of course you know that we missed 2 Sundays because of the bad weather. And then last Sunday, I wasn't able to be here. And I thank Fran. Thank you, Brother Fran. I wasn't able to listen to you because there were glitches. But Jimmy tells me that the sermon is recorded. Is it on the site yet? It's on our website. So I will be able to hear that. But I would get, you know, snippets. I don't know how many times you repeated yourself, you know, with the announcements and everything. But thank you, Fran, for filling in. Let me just recap what I started on January 18th by reminding you that in his book, Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer titled Chapter 1, Why We Must Think Rightly About God. And he began with this profound statement, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So what comes to your mind when you think about God? When you think about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And the best way for us to get to know about God is by what he tells us, by what he tells us about himself. And what did the Creator, the maker of everything, tell us about himself? So that's what we began. And the title of the message is What's in a Name, because we begin with his names and titles, some of them. If you'll go ahead and put up the slide. And I read Genesis chapter 1, where the first word that you encounter referring to God as the supreme deity is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word Elohim, and I'm going to develop this later in other messages, the word Elohim is not really a name. It is a category. A category describing divine beings. Because Scripture makes it clear that there are many more Elohim than just the one true God. Elohim is in the plural form of El or Elohe. And it's really a supernatural being. And we're going to see, because, and I'll show you how it's used elsewhere, of gods, different gods of the nation. Gods, plural, that's Elohim. And the context in your Bible, the context will determine whether there should be a capital G or a small g used. And your translation is trustworthy. when it's speaking about the supreme being, Elohim, it'll be a capital G. When it's something lesser, then it'll be a lower G. So that's the first name. It occurs over 2,500 times. But then if you go to Genesis chapter 2, you find who this particular Elohim, this particular supreme being is. So if you want to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts, and on the seventh day God, there's your Elohim, completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God, Elohim, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created in making it. So that's the supreme being. There are many Elohim, but there's only one Elohim that is supreme over all the others. And we find his personal name along with Elohim in chapter 2, the whole chapter of chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that... Now your text is going to say Lord in all capitals and then God. And this name, Lord, in all caps, some translations will use Jehovah. Your Jehovah's Witnesses will use that there. The American Standard will use Jehovah. But it's made up of four Hebrew letters. Yod, He, Wow, He. It is God's personal name. In fact, we read that in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. When Moses had this encounter with God in the burning bush, and it actually says he was the angel of the Lord, spoke to him and told him, I want you to go back now to Egypt, and I want you to lead the people out of Egypt. And Moses says, well, who am I going to tell sent me? And here's God's answer. Exodus 3, 14 to 15. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And that's what it is in the Hebrew. Eyeh asher eyeh. I am that I am. I am who I am. It is emphasizing his self-existence. He's the only one in the universe that is self-existent. Everything else has been created. Everything else depends upon him. And as we're going to see, even other Elohim, even other divine beings that have been created. And he says, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, then you shall say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, and I'm using the Legacy Standard Bible translation, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial name from generation to generation. So that's his name. That really is his only name. Now, he's got titles. And this name, Yahweh, is also linked with other names that we'll see. Psalm 83:18. Well, let me just say, this word Yahweh occurs over 68 times. L-O-R-D, all caps. Over 68 times in the Old Testament. It's not known exactly what's the best way to pronounce the name, but most scholars are saying that Yahweh is the way to pronounce it. In fact, that's how the Legacy Standard Bible translates the word. And that translation also says in the introduction that the meaning and implication of this name is God's self-deriving, ongoing, and never-ending existence. Exodus 3:14-15 shows that God himself considered it important for his people to know his name. The effect of revealing God's name is his distinction from other gods and his expression of intimacy with the nation of Israel. So I'm going to be using in the weeks to come the LSB, and when you hear me say Yahweh in your Bibles, it's going to be all caps, L-O-R-D. Well, how do we get Jehovah out of these four letters? Where did Jehovah come from? Well, by the time the Greek version of the Hebrew Scriptures was translated in the 3rd century B.C., it's called the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. By that time, they didn't pronounce this. When they got to it in the Scriptures, they didn't pronounce it. They either pronounced Adonai, which is this one, this word right here, L-O-R-D with only the capital L. They either pronounce Adonai or they said Hashem. And you might even hear some Jewish folks as they read scripture and they come to this, they talk about Hashem. And Hashem is the Hebrew for the name. But they held it in such high regard that they didn't feel they were worthy enough to pronounce the name, so they used Adonai or Hashem. Well, later on then, the Hebrews said, or the Greeks said, well, let's take the vowels of Adonai and we'll just stick them up here. So they took the vowels from Adonai and made this Jehovah or Yehovah. So that's where Jehovah comes from. If you really want to get technical with the Jehovah's Witnesses, you say Jehovah, but that's not really his name. His name is Yahweh. But you don't need to quibble over that because they got a whole lot more problems than just that. So let me read you some other scriptures here about Yahweh. Psalm 83:18, and just write these down for later reference. Psalm 83:18. Here Asaph, who wrote the song, prays that God would deal with Israel's enemies, which he calls your enemies, Lord, with a specific outcome. And here's the specific outcome that he wants to happen with God dealing with the enemies. He says, let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that you alone, your name is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. Isaiah 42:8. This is God speaking now. I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah 43, because there's a lengthy passage here that I want to point out to you. Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 1. And I want you to see you'll see some different titles here. And I want you to see how Yahweh is referred to. He's speaking about Israel and the redemption of Israel. Verse 1, Isaiah 43. But now, thus says Yahweh, your creator, O Jacob. So he's speaking to Israel. He says he's their creator. And he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, you might remember from Genesis, the story of Genesis, who named the animals? Adam. Adam named the animals, which meant that Adam had authority over the animals. He was taking dominion over the animals by calling each one a name. And that's what Yahweh is saying here. I have called you by name. You're mine. You belong to me. And these are some of the best verses. I love to share these verses with people going through painful times, people going through distressing times. So look at verse 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Can you think of another story in the Old Testament where somebody walked through the fire and the flame didn't burn them? You're thinking about Daniel's three friends, right? How can he say this? Look at verse 3. It begins with the reason he can say this. For I am Yahweh your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. That's what whole redemption is all about. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west, because they're going into exile. But this is a promise of what God's going to do. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by what? My name. And whom I have created for my glory. Whom I have formed, even whom I have made. If you want to know why you're here on this earth, if you want to know why you have been chosen by God from all eternity to be here at this time, it's because He created you for His glory. Glory is the reason God does everything He does. God does everything He does for His glory, for His exaltation, for His magnification, for His preeminence in this world. If you want to know why you're here, it's for His glory. If you want to know why anybody else in this world is here, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, It's for His glory. And the problem is, we don't live up to His glory. Which is what Israel's problem was. First in the northern kingdom and then in the southern kingdom, because they went after other Elohim. They went after other gods with a small g. But did you notice what he says in verse 3? For I am Yahweh, your Elohim. You see, the nations had all kinds of Elohim. The nations had all kinds of gods. And that's why I said there are many Elohim, but only one Elohim is Yahweh. Only one Elohim has made himself known by his personal name. And these other gods, these other Elohim, they also have names too. There's Marduk. There's Chemosh. Remember reading some of those in your Bible? That's their name. And we're going to learn that those gods had the responsibility for overseeing the nations. And they did a lousy job. Some of them. A lot of them. So, this name, is God's personal covenant name, Yahweh. God is a covenant-making God. He's also a covenant-keeping. In other words, He's a promise-making and a promise-keeping. Some of you might remember years ago the Promise Keepers movement, where, you know, men all around the world, or all around at least the United States, gathered together and were encouraged to be promise keepers. That is, keep the covenants. Well, God always kept His side of the covenant. Always. It was Israel who didn't. It was Israel who broke the covenant. It was Israel who didn't live up to the terms and conditions of the covenant. But God has always done that. And He's always going to do the same thing for you. Do you really believe what you sing? That nothing's going to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. And why do we question whether God loves us or not? When we have that supreme example of His love on the cross. And this is how God currently demonstrates His love towards us, in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you ever question whether God loves you? Stop it. Just look. Look. You can't get a better demonstration of love than that. And not only did He die on the cross for you, but then He rose again. And He's interceding for you right now. He's praying for you. And what's He praying for you? He tells Peter that in Luke 22. What's He praying for me? As I'm crying out to the Lord, oh Lord, please give me some relief. Jesus can answer back and say, I'm praying for you, Terry. What are you praying, Lord? That your faith fail not. You see? That your faith fail not. You need greater relief from doubt than you need from any pain you're going through. You need to know that you can trust God no matter what, because He keeps His covenant. He has made promises to you, and He will keep them. Will you keep your part of the bargain? Or you say, what's your part of the bargain? Loyalty. Loyal faith. Allegiance. Total allegiance. Our children are taught, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Are you going to be loyal to that flag? Are there people in this nation who are not loyal to it? That they've taken the flag and they burn it? And they say how awful America is? That we can do better? And I'm not getting into politics here, but I'm just saying, what God is asking from us is loyalty, which is what Israel failed, because they transferred their loyalty from this covenant-keeping God who's revealed Himself in a very personal way. They transferred that loyalty to other Elohim. And they began to worship other Elohim. They did not remain loyal. Now, there's another word that you need to be aware of, and I don't want to get off into a tangent, but there is this other Hebrew word that's translated variously. Most of the time, it's translated kindness or loving kindness. It's the Hebrew word C-H-E-S-E-D, or chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D, which means covenant loyalty. And it's found a lot in the Psalms, in the prayers. In fact, I try to pray it every morning when I have my quiet time. I do my IOUs. Have you seen that? John Piper recommended IOUs. Before you read the scripture, you go through your IOUs. The IOUs all come from Psalms. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. Unite my heart to fear your name. And then satisfy me in the morning with your chesed, with your loving kindness. With your loyal love to me, let me be satisfied with that. Because some of us aren't satisfied with that. Some of us just want relief from our problems. Some of us just want God to do His side. In our way, in our time. But you'll find over and over that God turned it on them and said, where's your chesed? Where's your loyal love? Where's your part of the covenant? Oh, you want me to make things good and nice for you and your circumstances? But have you gotten to the place where in everything you're giving thanks to me who have given everything to you? And it's hard. Friends, I'm just not going to lie or make light of anything. These scriptures are easy to read. They're easier to read than to put into practice, right? Easier to read the Bible than to heed the Bible. You can read your Bible every day and walk away with a disloyal heart. I think we're going to end there. Because there's some other names that we're going to look at. Adonai, which means master, sovereign, or when it's used of people, it just means L-O-R-D with the lowercase L. It's a title of respect. It's what Sarah called Abraham, my Lord. Husbands don't get the idea that you want your wife to call you Lord. But that's what Sarah did. It's sometimes translated sir, a title of respect. Let me just cover this last one. And here you're going to see this from Deuteronomy 10:17. Just write this down and you'll check it later. For Yahweh your God is the God of gods. Yahweh your God, your Elohim, is the God of gods. God of gods. That is, he's the highest. He's the supreme God. And he's also the Lord of lords. There you go. The Lord of different lords, which is another reference back to the false gods, different lords. So he's the Lord of lords. The great, the mighty, and the fearsome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He's completely just. That's who their God was, your God. And then it's also famously found in Isaiah 6:1-3. In the year of King Uzziah's death, Isaiah says, I saw Adonai on his throne, high and lifted up with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his feet, and with two his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another, said, Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, you want to know what is really, really special about this? You can turn to John 12. And when John writes about this incident, he said he's writing about Jesus. The Lord Jesus. So what Isaiah saw was that he saw the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. That's one of the verses I like to share with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Because John is equating with Jesus. He does that several times. So I'm going to stop there, because when we start looking at the unique Christian doctrine of the Trinity, I'm going to show you that most of the names that you see here, most of these names are also connected with Jesus. Who is called the God of gods and Lord of lords? The King of kings and Lords of... Who's that in Revelation 19? Our Lord Jesus. Jesus, in praying to his Father, says that you are the true God. That's one of the names of God, the true God, or one of his titles, descriptions. 1 John 5:20, John writes about Jesus, and he says he is the true God. This ought to excite you in your Bible reading, that you can see how God has revealed himself. And next week I'm going to try to wrap this up and tell you four implications of God revealing himself in this way. But for right now, Ruby's going to come and we're going to sing a song that you sang last week. And because I like that song, because it talks about great is the Lord, I want to sing it again. So I'll get to sing it.